Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches of the unspeakable gift God gave to us that first Christmas and how it frees us from the grip of sin and the sting of death.
Turn with me this morning, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And while you turn it there, we got a couple little stories I want to tell you. At our previous church, we had a service down in West Virginia on a mountainside for this lady who had passed away. She was buried down in West Virginia on this beautiful mountainside down there. So we had down there that morning and we did the service after driving all night, getting lost, and a few other things. We finally get there and we do the service there. And this one lady, her name was Florence. Well, anyhow, she was showing me around the cemetery. You have somebody show you around. I love it. I will. But she was showing me around the cemetery. And we get over to this grave site. And I look down, and there's a headstone there. And I'm standing right on the place where that person would be. And I looked down at that stone, and Florence is standing there beside me, and I looked at that headstone, and it said, Florence Foster. And I looked at her, and I said, Florence. I said, this headstone got your name on it. And she said, yep, that's mine. And she said, this is where I'm going to be buried at right here. And for some reason, and I don't know why, for some reason, I felt kind of odd. Standing there talking to Florence, and while I was talking to her, I'm looking down at the headstone that belongs to her, and I'm standing off her grave. Yeah. And I looked there, I said, that's kind of odd. But the thing of it is she was prepared for a shift, and she was ready. And folks, that's Christmas. I know it's hard to sometimes think about that. And Christmas and all that God has done for us through this, but it's good. Christmas is good because it points us to the future of what God's going to do for you and me. Now, I want you to know this morning, if you're down to West Virginia on the side of a hill, I just got to tell you this, on the side of this hill, there's a place there, and that's where, if the Lord tarry, that's where I want to be. And if you'll notice in the bulletin, January 1st, my birthday, and I'll be 70 years old. That's hard to believe. 70 years. I've been on this planet for 70 years. And so, you know, the Bible says that it is granted to you and me what they call 3, 4, 10. That's 70 years. Anything after that, grace. God's grace. But I plan for the future too when I stand before the Lord someday. And the only way you will ever be able to stand there is because what God has done to his unspeakable gift. And that's where we're at this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, this simple old verse. There it says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that's what we're celebrating. His unspeakable gift at this time of the year. This past week, I was watching this program, and they were talking about the manger scene. And it was interesting that this guy, he would talk about this. He wanted to debate whether Christ was really born in the stable or not. How many of you believe he's born in the stable? And the reason we believe it born in a stable is because it said that he was placed in a manger. No room in, and they placed him in a manger. Well, this guy, he was debating whether he was in the born or not, or he was in a had no problem with the major, but he said, one hornet on. And he used the word in Greek. And he said, well, you know, there are two different words used in the New Testament dealing with in. And then he went to the parable of the good Samaritan, doctored that guy up, took him to the inn, put him in the inn, paid for his stay there, and so on and so forth. He said, there, it uses the word in. And this guy said that whenever you use that part where it said there was no room for him in, yeah, it's that Greek word. And so it means something entirely different. And so I was kind of, he had my attention at that point. I'm thinking, okay, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, if in an inn, it's where people would go to town, and, you know, we know what an inn is all about. He said, but in this particular inn, where there was no room in the inn, meant there was no room in a house. Now, listen, that there was no room in a house for him. And he said, back in those days, in the house, they always had animals. And they had a section in the house where they put the animals. And in that section where they put the animals, they would consider what we would call a barn today. And in that barn, there would be a manger. And I had to chew on that for a minute. Now I'm thinking, animals in a barn, animals in a stable, animal in a cave, doesn't matter. He was still placed in a place with an animal were, and we would call it, whatever you want to call it, and in that place where he was placed, there was a manger scene, where would be the lowliest of the lowlies would be placed, and there is where God placed his gift. And I'm thinking, this guy wanted to debate an issue. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people do that at this time of year. How many of you ever heard? I know we'll ramble for a little while, okay, so just bear with me. They'll argue about the Christmas tree. You shouldn't have a Christmas tree. They'll argue about the ornament on the Christmas tree. Even the angel on Christmas. They'll argue and debate anything at this time of year about everything. And whenever they do that, what we end up doing is we miss out on the opportunity. Listen, we miss out on the opportunity to share with the people in this world who are like us years ago, who were lost and need hope, need a little bit of life. We have to share with them. Jesus. It's just time yet. Get with Jesus. And I thought to myself, you know, God is busy this time of year, the devil is too. Yeah, that every time that God's people come together, and every time the event takes place where God begins the words, the devil will show up. He'll heed it. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, the devil's your day. But God is here also. At this time of year, you and I should focus in on that one thing, and that is God's unspeakable gift. And don't allow the devil to get us distracted in dealing with what he wants to deal with it, but truly see the meaning of Christmas. We're going to be here worshiping the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Now let me go back a little bit to Wednesday night, past Wednesday. Some of you remember we were talking about, and God sent a baby. Now I want you to know, sometimes that we, pastors, we get information sometimes from other individuals. And I want you to know a little bit that I shared with you Wednesday was something I heard someone else talk. And I thought, kind of interesting. So this morning, I want to share with you just a little bit about God sent a baby in different areas to do different things. And then just a little bit of this, I haven't given credit to someone else because I heard someone else talk about it. But the last part of it is something that I put together for myself. So if you go all the way back to the beginning, whenever God began this work, a redeeming man. It kind of begins like the one verse in Titus 1:2, it said, in hope of eternal life, For God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Way back then, before the world was ever created, God made a promise that he was going to do something special, and he was going to send into the world an unspeakable gift, and that gift was going to give to you and me unspeakable things. Amen? And so he began to work out his plan of salvation. How many of you are familiar with Genesis chapter 6? There, the world was in chaos. And God looked down on the human race, and he decided, but, you know, it grieved me that I made man, and so I'm just going to just destroy all that I created, except for eight individuals. And we call him Noah. And Noah, in Genesis, built an ark, and God saved. And then we follow along just a little bit further. We come about Genesis chapter 11. There in Genesis chapter 11, you remember that men in Genesis began to build a tower, they said, that would reach to heaven. Now stop thinking about this a moment. What they wanted to do is mankind had gotten to a point they were going to build a tower that was going to reach to heaven, that would actually bring attention to just what they could do, and not what God was doing. And God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to confound their language. I'm going to split them up. And so then he splits up these individuals that come different nations, speaking different languages. Then all of a sudden, in about the 12th chapter of Genesis, God decides he's going to redeem, not about to fight, but God continues his plan of redemption. In Genesis chapter 12, he appears to a man by the name of Abraham, and he says to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless the world by blessing you, and by my blessing you, every nation on earth is going to be blessed. And then he said, then this is how I'm going to do it. And you go over to about the 21st chapter of Genesis, and you'll find there that God began to bless the nations of the world. How did he do it? He sends a baby. And the baby's name is Isaac. Then fast forward yourself a few years, and you'll find that the people of God multiplied, and then all of a sudden they're down in Egypt, they're in bondage. How long are they down there? For 400 years in bondage. And they needed to be delivered. Now God was working with all the nations around Egypt, or Egypt itself, and the nation of Israel, and his whole purpose of doing all that he did is to bring it to one point in history where he was going to send an unspeakable gift. And for 400 years, the nation of Israel laid in bondage. You know what God did in order to deliver them? We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night. I'm telling you, if it had been me, I would have done it entirely different from what God did. But God knew how to do it. What he did, what does he do? He sends a baby. Amen. And that baby's name is Moses. Can you imagine this? Now, just think about it. Pharaoh, the one who wanted to kill all the babies to prevent God from doing what he was going to do, is the one who breaks the one that did accomplish what God wanted him to do. It's why God just turns things around. God is so omnipotent, omniscient. He just knows how to do that better than we do. Sometimes I say, now this is my own thing, and I get in trouble, Lord, I'll be here doing this. But sometimes I'm thinking, man, God, if you allow me to do this, I could do just a little bit better. But then God reminds me that I'm not as smart as he is, and he can do a lot better for you than what I can. So here it is, God delivers the nation of the Israelites, and he makes a nation out. Then we go through the book of Judges, and we come to the end of the book of Judges. Are you with me? We come to the end of the book of Judges. And you know what it says at the very end of the book of Judges? It says that people of God had got to a place where they did everything that they thought was right in their own eyes. And God said, my people that are backslidden state, I need to get them out of that back and say, I need to do something Well, so what did he do? Again, he sent the baby. And the baby that he sends is Samuel. And Samuel is a prophet to remind them of what God can do. And Samuel means this, it's heard of God. I like that. Now, fast forward another couple thousand years, maybe. 1,000 years, 1,700 years, somewhere around there. And you find out that the world is in chaos. And God decides, okay, it's time to send this unspeakable gift. And he decides, for this point in time, I'm going to defeat the devil. Are you with me? I'm going to defeat the devil. I'm not only going to defeat the devil, but I'm going to pardon the sin. And I'm not only going to pardon the sin, but I'm going to give my power where there is power to overcome death itself. And that's why Florence could build that grave or put that grave and put that headstone there and know that she'd be put there because it was confidence and knowing that God was going to bring her out one day because God was going to do something that would bring power to this world that would overcome death. And so what does he do? One, he sends a baby. Amen. He sends a baby. And that baby is called God's unspeakable gift. Now look at that, if you would, this verse again. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I am one guy. I don't know anything about him. And when I was taking courses at Baja Dominican, Columbus State, stuff like that, my professor told me many times, man, you don't know English. You know, but we're here to help. And I remember one professor, she told me, she said, Ron, she said that they love Karen. Because she was so good at this English stuff, you know. But for me, I don't know about you, there's always exceptions to the rules in there. I had a hard time with this. There was exception to the rule. She told me what now. She said, Bob said, you do an injustice to the English language. I said, well, you know, you got one more quarter to teach me. I said, after that, I'm gone. But that's what I said. If you had another course in this last thing, I wouldn't be here. Karen loved that stuff. And I told you many times before, she was on the dean's list. If you'll take a look at this verse, I do know to provoke that. It says, thank him to God for his unspeakable gift. That's an adjective there that is trying to describe something. God's gift. Unspeakable. Gift. Unspeakable. So if you could put yourself in Paul's place, Paul comes to a point, and this is the only time in the New Testament where he uses this word unspeakable. It's the only time. And he is searching for something or some way to describe this gift that God was going to give. And he came to him. And he said, all I can say is, I'm just going to give you an adjective, an unspeakable gift. Now today we use that word in a lot of different ways. The adjective, like for instance, have you ever heard people say things like, that is I am terribly pleased. They're terribly pleased. Or you heard somebody say, I am awfully happy with it. I know you sound right, that awfully happy. Why about Bobby back there? Bobby comes in here with that little hat sometimes that he'll wear. And we'll call that a marvelous hat. A marvelous little hat. A word that describes something. You know, we try to overemphasize sometimes, don't we? Over, awfully happy or terribly pleased or a marvelous little hat. Bobby, you got a nice hat, but it's not marvelous. From there, Paul uses this word, unspeakable. It's not an over-exaggeration. The simple fact is, I don't have any other way of describing this gift that God is giving. Keep it funny. So what makes this gift so unspeakable? What makes it so unspeakable? Well, let me give you three things real quick, all right? That makes this gift unspeakable. Well, the first thing that makes this gift unspeakable is because of who he was. It's because of who he was. Now, stop and think just for a minute, if you would. Who was it that was laying in that manger? Now, you celebrate Christmas in the morning, and you think about that baby laying in that manger. Who was it? Who is it? Let me try to give you an Old Testament scripture. And I mean, we could do a lot of these, and you would probably fall asleep on me after a while. But let me give you a whole bit of scripture here from the Old Testament, Daniel. And if Paul, I don't know what he sees all this. I think he maybe he does. I don't. He's got a vision, a relationship with God. But in Daniel, the 7th chapter, he saw this. Daniel saw this. He said, I saw in the night vision. And listen. He said, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man comes with the clouds of heaven. And comes to the Ancient of Days. And it brought him near before him. Now listen. And there was given him dominion and glory. And a kingdom that all people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Lord, I almost got to read this again. I mean, I'm telling you, this brings you up. Listen to this one more time. Yeah, listen close. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming into the clouds of heaven, and come to the Ancient of Days, and it brought him near before him, and they were given on dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nation, and language shall serve in. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall never pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Let me tell you this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, you know that baby that's in that manger, that unspeakable gift of God, you are part of that clone. Amen. I don't care if that puts you in with the headstone there, says your name on it. You're part of this kingdom. And one day, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised together to meet those who are alive with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So whenever Paul saw that baby there, this gift of God, when he saw the gift of God, this unspeakable gift, he saw it. He said, I can't describe it. It's unspeakable because of who he was. Then, of course, not because of who he was only, but it is because of what he did. What did he do? I'm not going to go there this morning because of time, but I would encourage you, which is something we do on Christmas morning, every Christmas. And I'm not telling you how to do your thing on Christmas morning, but I just encourage you sometimes go to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and read out in that chapter and see what he did. The Bible says that he shall save his people from their sin. He shall save his people from their sin. Well, we say we're all, because of who he was, not only because of who he was, but because of what he did. And not only because of what did, but because of the result of what he did. Paul, the result of what he did. And Paul saw these things. He said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How many of you have been hungry? You've been hungry? Few of you know what me, you're hungry. You know, the body craves food whenever you're hungry. You know, the body craves water whenever you're thirsty. You ever found yourself in a situation where you wanted to be liberated from that specific thing that you're dealing with, that you felt like you were slaying, and finally you were liberated from it, from that particular thing? Well, this is what Christ did. This is what Paul saw. He was a food to a soul that was hungry. He was water to a soul that was thirsty. And he was liberation to an individual who was enslaved to sin. Paul saw this. And he knew this. He had experienced on the road to Damascus. And he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This morning, you and I are thankful to God for his unspeakable gift. I try this every so often, and I'll close you with this. Or I try this to quote this from something I memorized a long time ago. And it began with how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that God would give his only Son to make a wretch his tracer. How great the pain of searing loss, as the Father turns his face away. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice cry out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, the mission accomplished. His dying breath had brought me life. His dying breath had brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom. That this is what I boast in is his death and resurrection. While I should gain from his rewards, I cannot give an answer. But this I do know. Folks, I know this. I know with all my heart. His wounds has paid my pains, my hands. Has it paid yours? That's what Paul knew. Looked at that baby and said, this is God's unspeakable gift. Thank you, Father, for being there. From the beginning of time, you've always been there. Even to today, you give us the assurance of that promise of Matthew. He says, oh, lo, I am with you always, even to the world. On the end of the ages, with the end of our lives, when we come into your presence. Thank you, Father, for that unspeakable gift, your Son, Jesus. This morning, as we close this service, was a song of invitation. If there's anyone here, Father, this morning that needs to make any decision, this would be the time. Maybe there's someone in this room. They're thirsting. They're hungry. They need to be liberated. The baby can hear it. All they have to do is receive it. Whatever it might be. As we sing this song of invitation, you, Father, we glorify your people, and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.